An entire week of wrestling has left us. And you know what we have next? An entire week of wrestling. But the biggest event of the year has come and it's gone. And plus, it is Black Thursday over here in the wrestling fandom. All this and more in an all-new episode of the Wrestling Guys Podcast. And that starts right now. All right, coming to you from the basement in the forgotten borough of Staten Island, New York. This is the Wrestling Guys Podcast. This is a fan's perspective on all things in the world of WWE and the world of professional wrestling. We are your hosts. I'm Eric, otherwise known as Fizz. With me, as always, my tag team partner, Chris Never Miss, a.k.a. he's going to shock the world because he is the shock master. WrestleMania weekend 37, WrestleMania week, whatever you want to call it, is finished. We're done. And we have a lot of releases, and we're going to cover all of that right now. But first and foremost, you know how we do. We get the virtual clink because we're keeping it safe and socially distant as usual. You know, Chris, I was really excited, but I before we get into this whole stuff, a lot of stuff to cover, I do want to apologize to our little audience out there because we were going to do last week our last two matches in our greatest WrestleMania match bracket. Unfortunately, we just couldn't find the time. You were really busy. I was really busy. We picked the day we were going to do it, and then I came home one day, and I had water in my basement, and that just threw off the whole thing, and I wanted to burn my house to the ground because there was water in my basement. Yes, quite the big exaggeration, I know, but it sucked. So it was just, unfortunately, we just figured we'd push it back. It was big WrestleMania week. We got to watch all the matches. We got to watch both nights of WrestleMania, so we figured this week we'll cover WrestleMania and give it what's happened in the past 10 hours as we're recording this, cover some other news and notes as well, and then next week, we'll do our final two matches in the greatest WrestleMania match bracket. We'll do our last two match watch along, and then we'll finally pick our winner. And we're just going to make you wait another week. So too bad. All right. But thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for getting this podcast where you get all your wrestling podcasts. We appreciate it. Download, subscribe, leave that 5-star review as usual. And with that being said, I want to start off with this WrestleMania week. But, dude, we got to talk about, as I said, Black Thursday. 10 wrestlers have been released from the WWE roster. To start it off, it was Billy Kay and Mickie James, and that followed with Chelsea Green, Tucker, formerly one half of Heavy Machinery, Kalisto, Wesley Blake, Samoa Joe, which everyone was shocked at, Bo Dallas, Peyton Royce, and more recently, as we started recording, Mojo Rawley. We got 10 wrestlers, and I want to preface it with this, and this is in no way to demean these people who just, you know, lost their job and released, but WWE used to do this every year around the same time, and it kind of just stopped in the past few years. And they did it last year. Actually, if you want to hear something crazy, it's actually a year to the day where they released all those wrestlers last year during the pandemic and during lockdown, which made them look incredibly bad. Yeah. And now, whoever did this has incredibly shit timing that you're doing it literally a year to the day. Zack Ryder lost his job a year ago and then his fiance the year after. I mean, think about that for a second. Yeah, I mean, it's nothing new that we've never experienced before if you've been a lifelong fan. But some of these are shocking, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's WrestleMania cut season, right? It's something that fans can come to expect, especially after WrestleMania, which is where they kind of try to, I think, thin the herd and just, you know, plan for the next year. But there's always some disappointment with that, too. And I think Billy Kay is a big disappointment for a lot of fans. I saw a lot of responses asking why she was cut when she is, you know, very entertaining and fun to watch. I think Samoa Joe is probably the biggest shock for me. You know, I thought he was doing good on commentary. I thought maybe he would be there long term on commentary because he's injury prone and maybe his career is winding down. But that's not the case. They decided to let him go instead. Peyton Royce, what I would say is not a shock, but a disappointment because the Iconics were, again, just a fun team and the only real women's team that they had for their tag division and split them up for apparently no reason. Just split them up only to release them because they had just had nothing for them. And that's disappointing.
I got to say, so the biggest, when you text me earlier and said, yeah, Billy Kay released. And the first thing I texted you was, that is a huge fucking mistake.
Yeah.
Because we used to talk about this on this show back in the day about maximizing your minutes, no matter what, if it's 1 minute or 20. When you have TV time on the show. And no one did that better than Billy Kay. She would have one segment maybe on TV. Maybe she was sprinkled throughout the night, and she made the most of it. She left a lasting impression more than some of the matches some weeks. And she would come in with the, here's my headshot on the back resume. And it was so, it was great. It was just those little things, though, but it was great. And, you know, she was on WrestleMania. She went on with Carmella, and she, it seemed like almost her gimmick was going to be that of Damian Mizdow.
Yeah.
Mimicking the person that she's teaming with. And I thought they could have did something where, like, maybe every week she's teaming with somebody different and trying to find her niche, so to speak. She's incredibly entertaining. She was incredible. Peyton Royce also. First of all, yes, the Iconics should have never been broken up. They did it to split them up onto two shows. It made no sense to me. I thought Peyton, for me personally, Billy Kay and Peyton Royce is a huge, huge, huge mistake on their part. Those are two young up-and-coming stars that would have been superstars for you. SmackDown's roster now has only 9 women on the roster. And maybe there'll be some call-ups. Who knows? But those two ladies are – that's a huge swing and a miss for WWE. And I don't want to hear anything. And I'm hearing rumors about budget cuts. That's what Laurinaitis is supposedly saying. I'm going to call bullshit. I don't really know. I'm not receiving those calls. But if you just had a billion-dollar deal with Peacock, it's all about your bottom line. Don't fucking tell me it's about budget cuts. Mickie James is a legend. She, you know, she turned a one-off against Asuka into a multi-year return. She's a bona fide Hall of Famer in my book, absolutely. Kalisto was a bit of a shock, but again, he hasn't really been used on TV a lot. And that's another one where they split him off from the Lucha House Party, and that was it. No TV time, no nothing. Tucker, another one where they split up Heavy Machinery. It was a big head-scratcher as to why they had a hot angle going into WrestleMania last year. And then he turns on Otis, and we never saw him again. He was in the Battle Royal in the SmackDown on Friday. Never saw him again. Bo Dallas, another one not being used. Samoa Joe, to me, is a big shocker because he was incredible on commentary. He was on commentary for WrestleMania. Dude sat through a fucking thunderstorm for these guys. And they pulled him off the commentary team. And my immediate reaction was, oh, he's probably going to come back to the ring.
Yeah.
And he got released. Now, if I'm speculating here, and purely speculation on my part, and I could be wrong, maybe he couldn't get medically released to return, and maybe he asked for his release. You never know. But he is commenting here and there on Twitter. Nothing significant. Hasn't really released a statement. And Mojo Rawley, I was never a big fan of. I heard he's a great guy to meet in person. Very, very positive influence and stuff. And that's really it. I don't get how Steve Cutler and Wesley Blake lose their job, but the guy who pulled them, responsible for pulling them off TV, Jackson Ryker, is still has a job.
Yeah.
I'm a little confused by that. And Chelsea Green, unfortunately, I think it was injuries that got the better of her, you know, in terms of never really getting off the ground. I think a number of these people could be back. But it's the way they handle it. Billy Kay just released a beautiful statement on Twitter thanking Triple H and Vince McMahon for the opportunity and winning the titles of WrestleMania and being on NXT and all this other stuff. Whereas Tucker, the minute he got released, tweeted out freedom with a bunch of exclamation points. And then the second tweet was, I can't wait to tell my story. Which means he's going to jump on a podcast immediately and probably just bury the company of the WWE did wrong by me. But my immediate reaction is like, what do you have to say? You haven't been on TV.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What story could that be other than his version of why he was kept off TV? You know, maybe he tells the story of why they were split, Heavy Machinery, why they were split, what the plans were, and then they never followed up. And I think, you know, there's probably some legitimacy to whatever gripe he might have. But at the same time, you know, you're not being used. And it's hard for us to speak on it because we're not a part of it. But I would think that at some point, too, you got to just question what you're doing when you're on the sidelines and how do you get back in the game? And if you're not doing that and they're just looking at you like, well, he's just wasting space, so let's clear that space out.
And it's very much a thing of, you know, maybe like, and that's the thing with, that's why I think with Billy Kay, Royce, and Joe, they were used regularly. They were on TV. Royce had cut a pretty good promo on Raw Talk that led to a match against Asuka on Raw. And I thought they had a bright future. Joe to me is great. A lot of these guys, though, were just on the sidelines. Mickie James hasn't been used in a very long time. Chelsea Green, it was the injury. She was due to come back from her broken arm. And like Tucker, Kalisto, Wesley Blake, none of these guys are being used. Mojo Rawley wasn't being used, essentially. And I don't want to say he's taking up space, but in this case, creative has nothing for you. So maybe go and learn a new hold, as they say. Maybe they come back. Listen, the door is always open. I'm going to and we can round it out as we like kind of wind this part down here. I'll say this. In 2014, Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal both released. They both came back in 2017. Jinder Mahal was champion that year, and Drew McIntyre just wrestled for the world title again at WrestleMania and won it last year. So the door is never closed.
And I'm sure some of them will pop up. And yeah, I know whenever somebody gets released, it's like, oh, they're going to AEW. But I'm sure some of them will pop up there.
If I'm AEW, I'm signing the Iconics ASAP. It immediately improves their women's division. Peyton Royce is actually married to Sean Spears out there, so her husband's there. It seems like a good fit. But, you know, they lack a lot of star power in their women's division. I think those two ladies instantly improves them. Samoa Joe's going to land on his feet anywhere, whether it goes back to Impact, Ring of Honor, goes to AEW. He's anywhere he's going, he's going to improve their roster. The other guys remains to be seen. I'd like to see Kalisto. Kalisto was on the Samurai del Sol on the Indies. Maybe he winds up in an AEW ring. And a lot of people are already criticizing, saying, well, AEW essentially is just going to be a bunch of WWE rejects. It's not; they're not rejects, right? Let's put that, they're wrestlers. You know, to say that is fucking demeaning them and their abilities. If they end up in AEW, great. If they end up somewhere else, great. You know, and hopefully they make the best of it. But also never say never, because we've seen many people have left, got released, and have come back. Okay, so Eddie Guerrero got released and came back. Remember that,
right?
You know, so it's never say never. It sucks now, absolutely, it really does. But I give these guys the celebratory best of luck in your future endeavors, Clink. But the door is always open, at least in my view. How you doing? You know, it's crazy. But yeah, like, you know, the sprinkling, as they say, quote unquote, not to be disrespectful, it was a way of life in WWE right around Mania time, which kind of sucks, you know.
Yeah, literally right after it.
I mean, yeah, a few days later, like, shit, you know? But with that being said, let's go to a lighter. Now, let's talk about this WrestleMania week. Were you able to watch all the content throughout the week?
So I watched and Deliver both nights, and then I watched WrestleMania both nights. I didn't watch Raw. I didn't see the Hall of Fame ceremonies. I didn't watch SmackDown, but I did watch the two main events. I made it home just in time on Saturday for WrestleMania from getting my second COVID shot, and then the shot made me I had some side effects, felt like I had the flu, so all day Sunday I was pretty much incapacitated, but I was able to sleeping on and off all day, woke up just in time for night two of WrestleMania, you know, watched it and then went back to sleep. But that's it. I didn't watch the other things. I just watched the main special events that they had.
Okay, so you're not a real fan. Okay, I'm just going to put that out there because you didn't watch everything. Real fans watch it. Well, you know, to put it bluntly, you really didn't miss much in the go-home show for Raw. Wasn't very impressed. SmackDown had its moments. It had a nice Fatal 4-Way Tag Team title match, which should have been on Mania. And the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which is on SmackDown, which is weird. But I got to tell you, I watched the Hall of Fame. It just felt weird without having people there, but yet cutting to wrestlers on the red carpet earlier, but there was nobody in this sitting there to watch the wrestlers. It was it was very awkward, very weird to see it. And then their speeches were incredibly short, and I kind of felt bad for those guys, but it was good to see the 2020 honorees and the 2021. You know, it is what it is. It's the most normal we could get at the time. I thought TakeOver Stand and Deliver both nights delivered. I thought they were absolutely incredible. Off the top of my head, I thought Walter and Tommaso Ciampa was a fucking barn burner of a match. Hard hitting, physical.
Yeah, I'm glad that they're able to bring the NXT UK guys over and use them, because it's good to see Walter. I like him. I think he's a unique talent to them, and just like, you know, has that like old school wrestling feel, and they had a good match.
Well, but at this point, right, you've built him up so much, who's gonna take him out? I thought Ciampa was actually gonna win. I had a feeling that he might have taken it from, because, you know, they're both physical, it's very hard hitting, and I love the he literally threw a chop and broke, you know, snapped that thing on the table in half, and he was selling the injury to most of the match, which was great. But it's like, who the hell beats this guy at this point, you know, unless they call him up? I really don't know. It was incredible. I mean, they had, I think it was one match after another. The guys in MSK, dude, I am a big fan. I like their high flying style. They're exciting. They're energetic. They're, a lot of flying moves. I love the Grizzled Young Vets. And Legado de Fantasma, no slouches either. I thought they did really well in that match. I thought it was a very good match, but the women's match for me, aside from Ciampa and Walter, was one of the matches of the night of night one. Raquel Gonzalez, now our new NXT Women's Champion, toppling Io Shirai with her nice 200-plus day reign. It was great, even though it was a size advantage. Io used her speed, used her high flying, and at, you know, at no point did it seem like a squash with Raquel going over. You know, right. It was great. I thought it was great.
I think for me the best match of both nights was the Adam Cole Kyle O'Reilly unsanctioned match. I mean, those guys just they beat the shit out of each other, and I think told a really cool story. O'Reilly going over, you know, so of course there's questions about Adam Cole and what happens with him next. But they put on a hell of a match, and I enjoyed the Karrion Kross Finn Balor match, although I felt that they were a little more slow paced. Karrion Kross is NXT champ again. Hopefully he'll have a longer title run and not get injured this time. But their match, although it was good, it just seemed very slow.
I like the pacing of that match, though. I do. I like you. I like how it was like each were working on a body part. Each kind of was trying to break the other down. Finn Balor looked really, really well in terms of doing that stuff. And he's been that for a while now, which I really like in his matches. Slow, methodical, really breaking down and really just like laying into somebody. Midsection, leg, arm, whatever it is. And I liked it because it was a nice shift from when we got the last match. And O'Reilly and Cole went all out and beat the shit out of each other. And it was a great story. Cole just talking to O'Reilly throughout the night about, like, I'm better than you, always been better than you. And, you know, at one moment where I thought Adam Cole was going to win, instead of having this, like, big emphatic kick out, Kyle O'Reilly just slowly rolls over his shoulder, lifts it up. And that was great because he was so hurt that that's all he could muster up. And the fact that Cole didn't cover him enough for him to get the shoulder up. Like, those little things that people don't fucking do no more like that. I love like those little storytelling moments, those in between things. The I'm so hurt, I'm gonna kick out, but I'm not gonna kick out and Hulk up. I'm gonna just roll over gently because you didn't cover this shoulder, and things like that. I thought that was the best match of the two nights. But not to be outdone, Santos Escobar and Jordan Devlin in the ladder match was really good. And I'm not trying to knock Jordan Devlin, but do you ever look at his head and think that somebody put a cheat code on in WWE 2K and he has a giant head? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, he just has this weird head. Both guys went all out. It was incredibly hard-hitting. And what I liked is that Santos Escobar went over clean. All right? No real interference from Legato, from Joaquin Wilde, or Raul Mendoza. And they went back and forth. And it was just a nice hard-hitting, high-flying match. But yeah, was good.
There's a new cruiserweight champion though. Is Kushida won it on NXT?
Right. So Santos Escobar wins it. He's had an incredibly long reign, almost a year, and he comes out. He's the best. He's undisputed. And then Kushida takes it off him on Wednesday. But you know, and Santos Escobar is incredible. But they needed to do something with Kushida. Him losing to Pete Dunne. Yeah. I think you had texted me and said like, what are they doing with Kushida? It was a good match. It was, but it's almost like he's floundering, right? Like, you know, they're missing the boat on turning him into a star, making him cruiserweight champion. Hopefully we'll right the ship with him. And it's not saying that he's a bad wrestler. It's just that he's constantly losing these big matches.
Yeah. And I just feel like they didn't know what to do with Kushida. So I think their option is if they want to, you know, get the ball rolling with him, is put the title on him and let him have a run and see what he can do. Because as far as like character wise, I felt like they didn't know how to present him.
Oh, not even. Yeah, he's the time splitter. What does that mean? You know, so it's like, okay, what, you know, it's like you have to find your niche there. And what I think was like they didn't want to pigeonhole him in the cruiserweight division. They kind of wanted to use him in other factors. But now it's like, let's use him to his strengths. And him and Santos Escobar could have some killer matches now. Especially like in return matches and stuff. I think that was great. So, I mean, I think all in all, I thought, you know, as usual, and there's something I want to point out, and I may be off base here. I don't know if you agree, disagree here, but NXT as a whole, as a product, is just presented better than Raw or SmackDown. I said what I said. And I'll tell you why. So the Capitol Wrestling Center has had fans in it from the jump, and that's not taken away from the Thunderdome. I think the Thunderdome is an incredible idea, right? But it's just everything. It's the chain link around it that makes it like, oh, like almost like a fierce, almost like what Raw Underground should have looked like when they brought it around. The LED video screens around where like they're cutting promos and like the videos will pop up. The way they use the LED video screens, like when Io Shirai and Raquel Gonzalez came out, one whole side of the screen was Io Shirai versus Raquel Gonzalez. And then the other side of the screen was like NXT Women's Championship. And when they finally won, it says like and new and it's plaster. Just the presentation as a whole. The subtle thing, the skull in the middle of the thing, but the skull's eyes were video screens. You know, it's just these little subtle things that I mean, WrestleMania is WrestleMania. That production second to none. But on a weekly basis, NXT is just presented as a show, as an entity, just better. The buildup, I think, to NXT Stand and Deliver was better than WrestleMania. I was hyped for all these matches because they had better promotion for their stuff.
Right. So now let me ask you this then, because I've been saying that NXT is the better brand for a long time. Does Triple H deserve the credit for that? Like, is he proving that he can produce a show now better than anybody on the main roster can?
I think so. I mean, obviously, it's not just him. He does have a lot of people. I mean, he brought
in
Jeremy Borash and your William Regals and all those guys. But he is, listen, Vince McMahon has the final say, but down in NXT, that's his baby. That's what he does, right? And it just shows you, I don't want to be that guy who's like, Vince is out of touch. Vince McMahon is the greatest promoter of wrestling that we will ever see in our lifetime. And that's it. End of story. Triple H, though, is getting with the times. Mm-hmm. And he's displaying a more modern, better product. Okay. I think Jeremy Borash was the one that was responsible for putting together that Prime Target with O'Reilly and Cole the week before Stand and Deliver. That promo, that video package alone was like, dude, I cannot wait to see this match. And it was that. And then throughout the night, they cut everybody, mostly in the top matches, cut respective promos. Walter, Tommaso Ciampa, Karrion Kross, Finn Balor, or they had something in the ring to go on. Or when Jordan Devlin and Santos Escobar face-to-face in the ring, and Shawn Michaels comes out, and all he does is pull a ladder out, throw it in the ring, he's out.
Yep.
Why are we not doing that on Raw and SmackDown? There was no build. There was barely any build. There's no promo. There's no video packages to get you hyped up for these matches. It didn't feel like it was great to have fans back at WrestleMania. Don't get me wrong. But there was nothing that was like, fuck, I can't wait for these matches. And I saw the promos the week before, and I was like, damn, Stand and Deliver is going to be awesome. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree. I mean, I do agree. It was a better build-up for NXT, and I felt like WrestleMania, although I felt like the matches were good, and you know, we'll get into it, but I think WrestleMania both nights were kind of just thrown together. At least it felt like it was thrown together as it was approached. Like, there was no real plan. It wasn't like, it didn't feel like they sat down and was like, here's what we're going to do, and here's how we're going to get there. It was like, okay, today's Monday, WrestleMania is Saturday and Sunday, let's just throw these matches together. Like, that's how a lot of the matches felt.
Well, like, you know, Riddle and Sheamus put together.
Right, it was just thrown there. Yeah.
Right. You know, McIntyre and Lashley, we knew what was happening. They kind of stalled a little bit on it. You know, we knew the Bad Bunny, Miz Morrison match and Damian Priest match was going to be a tag match, but they waited till the week before to make it a tag match. You know, stuff like that. Like, it was just like, you know, Charlotte had to go out for, they thought she was pregnant. She wasn't pregnant. Then she had COVID, so they bring in Rhea Ripley, and they just essentially repeated the Bianca-Sasha storyline just to build up quickly. And Rhea, and that was pieced together faster. All right, fine, I get it. Bianca and Sasha had a pretty legit feud, but that could have used some more promotion as well. You know, Bayley's not on the card, but she was used kind of like as a pseudo host throughout the night. You know, it's just a lot of things that was just weird, you know. Omos and AJ Styles with the new, and just a lot of these things were just like, okay, you don't have a match, you're together. You don't have a match, it's put together. And like the O'Reilly Cole storyline has been put together for months. Yeah. You know, Io Shirai and Raquel Gonzalez started building at War Games because she pinned her at War Games.
Because she pinned her, yeah.
And they didn't do anything in between there. A couple of stare downs here and there, and they build it up. That's been building since November.
Yeah.
Till now. You know what I mean? Like, Karrion Kross coming back with the shoulder injury, and when he faced Finn Balor and he's facing him, Finn Balor was like, what took you so long? And then turns around and it's him. Like, come on. That's good shit. To steal from Vince, you know, and this is, you know what, since we're on this subject, let's roll into this WrestleMania thing. first off, it was great to see fans back in the arena, some with masks, some not. It is what it is. I gotta say that when Vince came out with the roster and kind of did that thing, it was nice. It was nice. It kind of got me a little bit too, just to see where we were a year ago. Me watching WrestleMania with my son in an empty performance center because they really had to do it at the last minute. To now, we have some fans back live. You know, a legit WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was 25,675 for both nights, so a combined 51,350. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely nice to see the fans back and to hear it. You know, the fans live. You know, cheer live. It was definitely cool, and you can see that the wrestlers really appreciated it too.
Yeah, Rhea Ripley, Nikki Cross, several of them were tearing up, full on crying, because this is it. Like, we're here. This is actual WrestleMania. Vince McMahon had some hella work done, though. Huh? Look at his face. Nice and smooth now. How you doing? But it was good.
Work. Nobody's had more work than Charlotte. I don't know what Charlotte did, but she looks terrible.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. So I was showing Eric is my son, and he's a big wrestling fan at 4. I was showing him a really early Charlotte match between Charlotte, Sasha, Becky, and Bayley when Sasha wins the NXT women's title. And my wife comes downstairs and she goes, "That's Charlotte?" And I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "What the hell happened?" Like, and I want to preface with this. I don't think Charlotte looks bad, but she looks completely different. I mean, also she's also thinned out a little bit. She's lost some weight, particularly in her face. But when she showed up on Raw on Monday, she looked very, very skinny. And maybe it's the fact that she had COVID. Maybe she lost some weight or something like that because she was sick. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong here. But yeah, I saw that and I was like, "This does not. You look different. You look a little different, girl." But anyway. Yeah. Speaking of that, I saw a thing on Twitter that says Vince McMahon's facelift had a facelift. But let's get – so we start off with actually a rain delay, which has never happened in WrestleMania.
Yeah, how funny is that? I mean, why not, right? I mean, everything else is – you know, considering the 2020 and everything, just why not?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, fuck you. We're going to have a rain delay. it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. They started up pretty quickly. What I did like is that it showed you what people could do with unscripted promos. Lashley and McIntyre, Kevin Owens cut a really good one. You know, they had to think on the fly, and it's like, these guys could do it. Stop giving them fucking scripts.
Right.
Especially Kevin Owens. It's great. But Drew McIntyre did say he wanted to be the first person out when there was fans. And night one, here he is, first person out. And we have our world title match right away. Him and Lashley and McIntyre. What'd you think of this first opening match?
I thought it was good. You know, I thought they had a good match. I did expect Drew to win. And I can't say that I was – maybe I was a little surprised he lost. But when he did lose – I thought, okay, good. We'll have Bobby Lashley have a little bit longer of a title run. A rematch is coming. I think I didn't watch Raw, but I think Drew did win like a number one contenders match.
Yeah, he did.
And you know, maybe he'll get it at what's being called WrestleMania Backlash. I'm kind of glad that Bobby Lashley is getting a little bit of a longer title run.
Yeah, I do. I like the match. The match was hard hitting. I thought it was really good. It was a good opener. Say the least. It was good. Him and Lashley have good chemistry since the Impact days. And it was good. A lot of physicality, a lot of near falls that were really, really strong. McIntyre hitting him with 3 Future Shock DDTs and all that stuff. And then MVP with that little distraction that lets him get out into the Hurt Lock. I thought for sure McIntyre was going to be like, this was makeup for last year, you know, and when the belt in front of fans. But at the same time, him and Lashley are just getting started. And yep. I'm glad that they're giving Lashley a significant run with this, because I think he's proved that he could do it, and him and MVP together, I've said this again, it's money together, and I think this is good, and I like the direction they went, and I think, you know, again, they're gonna face each other at, I don't know why they're calling it WrestleMania Backlash, just fucking call it Backlash, but whatever, they are gonna do it again, they're gonna dance one more time, so you never know what's gonna happen there, but it's good, and it makes Lashley look incredibly strong, it keeps McIntyre strong, because he didn't tap out, he passed out to the Hurt Lock. And then, you didn't see this, but at the end of Raw, McIntyre was the number one contender, and T-Bar and Mace come out from Retribution and chokeslam him. And it looks like they may have aligned themselves with MVP. Why did we break up the Hurt Business? I don't know, but okay. So let's go to the second match of the night. You got Tag Team Turmoil, winner of this. So it's Natalya, Tamina, the Riot Squad, Mandy Rose, Dana Brooke, Billie Kay, love you girl, Carmella, and then Naomi and Lana. And the winner of that would face Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax in night two for the women's tag team titles. This match was incredibly sloppy, incredibly a lot of missed spots, and starts off with Mandy Rose busting her ass walking down the aisle. Felt bad for her, but who's not cleaning up? Who's not cleaning up the water off the rampway? Seriously, like come on, man. Like
let's push. She wasn't the only one that slipped that night. AJ Styles he caught himself, but he slipped also. But apparently, they just had a tough night on night one, I think, because there was a lot of mishaps. You know, the rain delay, Mandy Rose slipping, you know, pretty significantly. I mean, she fell flat on her ass. And Michael Cole apparently had a bunch of call mishaps, and he did in this match. I think it was either him or it was the ring announcer that announced that the Riot Squad had been eliminated when, in fact, that they did not.
Oh, that was the ring announcer, yeah. And then he said, correction.
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've always been a fan of Natalya. I think that she doesn't get enough praise for being one of the better workers that they have as far as the women go.
Absolutely.
But the match just, I mean, it was what it was. I would like to see the Riot Squad maybe one day get their due and have a little bit of a tag title run. Tamina's been there a long time, so I'm okay with her being put in that spot, her and Natty. But, you know, we've talked before about teams just being thrown together. It's just like, and they're doing it with the women now. It's like, okay, you're not doing anything. You're a team now. But Natty and Tamina got the win, and, you know, I was okay with them winning, but the match just, it was okay. It just was what it was, I think.
A lot of wardrobe malfunctions as well. Dana Brooke, Carmella, as well. I do like the teaming of Tamina and Natalya with the, we want to come out of the shadow of our fathers. And a little call they're doing. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke kind of just got thrown together a few months ago, and they seem to be making a go of it now they're wearing matching outfits. I do got to say, I was shocked. If Tamina and Natalya didn't win, I thought for sure it was going to be Naomi and Lana. And Lana's finally going to get her revenge on Shayna and Nia. And they were the first team eliminated, which is like,
yeah,
kind of threw me off. Lana completely missed a kick that Billie Kay tried to sell for her, but it just she whiffed so bad. And you know what? It's still early in her career. I get it. It's fine. You know, the announcers try to cover it up. Michael Cole with his mishaps, I expect that every pay-per-view. It happens every pay-per-view, every week on Raw.
Can I just say this before we go any further?
Yeah.
You know, and I'll ask. I won't say it. I'll ask the question. Is Michael Cole the worst commentator
ever?
Yes.
I have to think about that for a minute. If I had to pick, yeah.
Yeah, right. I never liked him as a commentator. I think I just listening to him, he sounds like he forces it all the time. He doesn't sound like anything that happens, he doesn't sound legit in how he delivers it. Jim Ross, to me, is the greatest of all time, because anytime something happened and he was over the top and giving that dramatic call, you believed that he was in the moment and that what he was seeing, it was legit and it was genuine with everything that he called. When Michael Cole does it, I feel like he's trying to force it out. And I always just was never a fan of him. I hate his boss time shit. I hate the...
Is that why you hate Sasha Banks? Because it's boss time?
No. But I hate that. I hate all his little stupid catchphrases. Like, I'm not a fan of his. I say that respectfully. I'm sure he's a nice person. But just as a fan, as somebody consuming the content, I do not like Michael Cole as a commentator. Never did.
He's a hard worker, but I'm not a fan. And it's weird because we've been to many live events in the past, and when you see JR kind of like rocking back and forth in his seat, and you can't hear the commentary, you know shit is getting.
You
weird.
Know he's
getting.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so like, you know, we've seen it before. Like, we were looking at Jim Ross and be like, "Yeah, Jim Ross is fucking getting close." He's like this. He's rocking, and you can't see what I'm doing right now, but he's literally rocking really hard back and forth. He has his headset on. You can tell he's really into it. And like, Michael Cole can take you out of a match instantly. And that's the problem I have with him. Like, you could just be like, into it, and then he calls like a spot wrong, match wrong, something like you know, how many times are you gonna mess up the Blue Thunder Bomb for Sami Zayn? Like, you do it all the time. It's not once that's happened. It happens all the time. You know, just these things that he just, I don't know, man. And I loved Mauro Ranallo when he came in.
Me too.
I loved when he was on SmackDown. I loved him as NXT. I fucking miss him now. Not taking away from those guys in NXT right now, but he was incredible. I loved the way he was. And I thought he was a perfect successor to JR. The Mamma Mia stuff, all this stuff. And then they just kind of drove him away. And his mental health issues kind of took him away too. And I hope I hope he's doing well now. But he
was genuine. Like, you believed him. You felt it. Yeah.
When he was calling NXT, and then he released those videos, like those reaction videos of him. I'm like, that's JR, bro. Like, that's what we used to see live with JR. And I thought that was great. Listen, he's been there a long time. One of the longest tenure guys there. But it's hard to say, like, yeah, you know, get your shit together. Like, you've been there like 30 years. It's not going to happen. But yeah, I got to say it, man. When you look at that, yeah, I mean, Corey Graves is great to help support him. And I thought he really did too, especially night two. Where he was kind of like directing him to be like, hey, the internet's going to kill you. Like, it was funny, but it was like, stop fucking up, dude. It's WrestleMania. this tag team match, like you said, yeah, was what it was. Really messy in the beginning, sloppy. Natalya and Tamina. My wife is a huge Natalya fan, and she always says, Natalya never gets her fair share. She was like, she's not going to win. And when she won, she was like, she got so excited. She was like, Natalya won? She's like, yeah, but she's going to lose tomorrow night. And I was like, nah, I think she might win this. And she was absolutely right. So, it just shows you, to me, the next match, probably one of the matches of the weekend, the entire weekend, Cesaro and Seth Rollins put on a show.
Great match.
Really good fucking match.
Awesome. Glad Cesaro won, too. Like, Seth Rollins, you know, I'm a fan of Seth, but I'm glad that Cesaro got the win. Mm-hmm. And I loved the sequence at the end. That they did. It was really, really, really good match.
Old school airplane spin, right into the neutralizer. I mean, even prior to that, and a little like reverses the back and forths. He went for the stomp. He lifted him up all the way into the European uppercut, which was awesome. Cesaro is magic, bro. He's such a good wrestler. But he's been and there's nothing wrong with that. But being in all these tag teams over the years, he's been in great tag teams. But I'm hoping this is the start of a significant push for him and on to better things, because when he gets time and he gets the dance, but it doesn't matter what dance partner he's with, though, he makes him instantly better. But him and Rollins together, it was an awesome match. It was really, really good. Was. I'm glad Cesaro did get the win also. His first ever WrestleMania singles match, believe it or not. And he gets the win, and it was great and good for him. It was good. And I like the old school vibe. Airplane spin, the giant swing with the leg, all that stuff. You know, like those little things. He incorporates a little old, a little the new. Him and it comes to mind, if you guys never seen this before, and I'm pretty sure you guys have, but him and Sami Zayn put on a fucking match at the very first NXT TakeOver. If you guys haven't seen that, you know what? I can't say fire up Peacock because Peacock sucks, and I don't think any TakeOvers are on there. So
he had a good match at, was it NXT TakeOver? The second NXT UK takeover where he fought Ilya Dragunov. That was a good match, too.
Oh, yes. Good match, too. Ilya Dragunov. I like him, man. Up-and-coming guy right there. Anyway, incredible match. And then we had the Raw Tag Team Championship match. It was AJ Styles and Omos defeating the New Day. They're the new Tag Team Champions. What did you think of this thing? I thought it played out really well, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. It kind of went how I expected, where AJ would work. Pretty much the entire match, tagging Omos, and Omos would dominate and they would win. That's what happened. AJ is now a Grand Slam champion and, you know, deservedly so. I mean, the guy is great. Who would have thought? I remember watching AJ Styles back in the TNA days and around when that started, when they were doing their weekly pay-per-views and it was still known as NWA. And look how far he's come now. You know, he's 43 years old, and he's a future WWE Hall of Famer. Has held pretty much all their titles. But the match was, I mean, it was fine. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how they present them, like how they do going forward with them as a team. But Omos making history for himself. I mean, first ever match at WrestleMania and wins a championship.
Omos got the reaction, I think, exactly what WWE wanted him to get. Like, really, like, oh, shit, he's in the ring. I mean, that was good. But that being said, could he get some better ring attire? It's his first match here at WrestleMania. All black thing didn't do it for me, bro. You got to do something better than that. It was what it was, right? AJ, Xavier, and Kofi were going to hold down most of the match, do most of the work. It was all about when Omos hits the ring. And when he hit the ring, it was over. And I like that. I like that when he got in, it was like, no, that's it. You know, and I love that when AJ jumped off his shoulders to do the phenomenal forearm. And I do like the fact that he hit his moves. There were no kickouts because this is a tag team title match. And I like that he hit him. It was over. Like, they didn't try to chop him down, kick him in the legs. Both Xavier and Kofi had this look on their face like, oh, shit. And I like that's what I loved about it. It was, like, genuine. Yeah. And that was it. I mean, the match was it was. It wasn't going to be a classic, one of those classic encounters that you've seen in the past. It was what it was. AJ, Xavier, Kofi put on some good work. Omos comes in, wrecks house, and put him over. And it worked, I thought. But that being said, we're going to move from that match and putting over to our steel cage match. Strowman, Shane McMahon. I didn't like the feud going in. This match didn't make me a believer of the feud going out. Shane, as usual, does some crazy shit off the cage, as he does. It wouldn't be WrestleMania or a match like this if Shane didn't do something crazy. That's what makes him great. You know, the match was what it was for me. You know, nothing spectacular.
Yeah, there's nothing really to say about the match because there's nothing that sticks out other than that spot that Shane had off the top of the cage. I mean, every wrestling fan, I think, can say they respect Shane McMahon. Ever since the first time he wrestled all the way back at WrestleMania 15 against X-Pac.
Right.
You know, he can actually put on decent matches and work decent matches. I have a bad feeling that as he gets older, he's going to lose a lot of function in his body.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, Braun Strowman, this was reminiscent of Shane's feud with Big Show back in, like, 2000. You know, just making fun of him for being tall and stupid and, you know, it just the buildup wasn't enough for me to get excited about the match. And then the match was just like, yeah, okay. Braun getting the win is fine. I hope that it's over. And seems like it's over. I think this was just a way to have Braun on the card. But I'm happy that it's over with.
Yeah, listen, Strowman looked like he wanted revenge. He got his revenge. He did look focused throughout the whole match, which I liked. You know, the spot in the beginning, having Riker and Elias, like, soften him up kind of in the beginning with chairs, which helped Shane out a lot. It helped. It was smart. I did like the spot of breaking through the cage to pull him back in.
Yeah.
Because it was like, what is he going to do, pull him back up? You know, like, that was a good spot. And, of course, the toss off the cage. Man, what do they do with Strowman now? You know, it's like, can we get him a legitimate feud? You know, I was a big believer in Strowman a few years ago, and I just feel like he's just declining. The stock is just dropping. And, you know, this thing with Shane, it got him on WrestleMania, great. But it's like, let's do something else with him now. Let's put him in something else. Let's throw him in this U.S. title picture with him and Sheamus. I bet you they could have some good-ass matches, you know? Something. Let's see something. You know what I mean? I don't know. To me, this next match is one of the best matches of night one, and I did not expect it to be one of the best matches of night one. And I was very, very shocked at how good this person is. And I don't want to put it over that much, but I am going to put it over that much. But Bad Bunny and Damian Priest defeating The Miz and John Morrison. What were your initial reactions for this match?
The buildup to it, you know, whenever a celebrity, you know, or somebody outside of the business gets involved in a match, there's always going to be some type of reservation of what they're going to look like. Sometimes, though, we get surprised. Like, I think Stephen Amell, you know, a few years ago at SummerSlam, I thought he was good, but he's a fan. You know, I think that's the difference. Kevin Federline, if you remember all those years ago with his feud with John Cena, I think that was, you know, he did a good job there. So sometimes you get these guys that come in that you look at and you're like, you don't belong here, but then they surprise us. Bad Bunny surprised us. You know, he did very well, I think. You know, and I'm sure somebody out there say, well, he had help with Miz and Morrison, and that's true.
Absolutely.
But he has to be able to do what he does in order for it to fully work. And the fact that Bad Bunny was as good as he was for being an amateur, for not being a wrestler at all, and he was able to do what he did is impressive. And, you know, he's a fan. He's been a lifelong fan. He appreciates and he respects the business, which is why I think the match was better than what a lot of people expected. It showed. And kudos to him.
I want to say kudos to Damian Priest
for holding it down on that side. But Miz and Morrison are absolute professionals. They made Bad Bunny look like a million fucking bucks. But I agree wholeheartedly with what you say. Bad Bunny had to put the work in. And it was good to see these wrestlers do interviews the next day, especially Randy Orton, saying how, you know, they have practice rings in the back. And Bad Bunny was always there putting in the work, training constantly. And it showed. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Bad Bunny had the best celebrity match I've ever seen. Stephen Amell was really good. Pat McAfee's thing at War Games, I thought he was really good. I thought he did a great job. And even Pat McAfee's match with Adam Cole at TakeOver prior to that was really good. But this guy, Bad Bunny, had just – he checked all the boxes, man. He had the fans. He had the nice buildup with him and Morrison for a couple months after Rumble, which, you know, it's funny to me, but they had a legit WrestleMania story from Rumble all the way through to WrestleMania. And that was one of the few ones that they had going in. They had a true Mania build. You know, and he looked great. And a lot of these celebrities come in, and when they don't respect the business, they're just doing it for the payday. They give two fucks about training, right? Yeah. You know, and whereas this guy, like you said, lifelong fan, and he respected the guys there. They all these guys have said it on Twitter, interviews, otherwise, how he comes in and he doesn't act like he's a Grammy-winning artist. He comes in and respects everybody, says hello, talks to everybody, asks people questions, and he wants to train because he legitimately wanted to do it. And I thought the match and shout out to Morrison and Bad Bunny for the Canadian Destroyer spot, because Miz actually sold it like a Canadian Destroyer and stayed outside until the end of the match and sold it like a true move. And he did it on the outside, and that was great. You know, and that was good. And then him and Damian Priest, you know, his first WrestleMania match, a marquee match like that, and to me, it was one of the matches of the night. It's the way Miz and Morrison handled Bad Bunny, like almost like ring. They were ring generals that time. They handled him so well. It cannot be overstated how good they were in making Bad Bunny look like a star.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it was better than it had any right to be. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be, and it was incredible. So, good for them, man. I thought it was great. I thought it was awesome. And that was good. That was our co-main, believe it or not. And then our main event of night one. So we're going to criticize Michael Cole, but I'm actually going to give him some kudos here that he actually went out of his way to acknowledge that it was the first time that two black women ever wrestled for a title at WrestleMania in the main event. So it was very, very historically significant. He actually got it right, you know, that in that point. You know, kudos to him for that particular call and having the balls to actually point out that it was two women of color doing it. That was great. But Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks, to me, and I know this wasn't for you, but to me, this was match of the night. Mm-hmm. Cesaro, Seth Rollins, a close second. But what did you think of this match?
I thought the match was good. I thought Bianca winning was the right call, obviously. I mean, we had all picked her winning since she won the Royal Rumble. Yeah, I mean, the match was good, but I do want to bring up to you what you think of the kind of fan backlash a little bit to Sasha losing. I don't know if you know about it or have seen it.
No, fill me in.
So there was a video on YouTube that went viral about how Sasha's shoulder was not down and that she was basically screwed, like legit screwed out of the match. That the moment was stolen from her and that she was, like I said, screwed out of the match. Okay. Obviously, it's not true. Bianca was supposed to win. But there's some fan backlash to Sasha losing, as some of her fans feel like it was legitimately taken away from her.
Point now, because Bianca's plates still have Sasha's. Only they're like, oh, like they already changed Rhea's. Rhea's already has her, she has her own place. I'm like, what you call this on SmackDown Friday? So they'll probably change it then. But that's also been like on Twitter today, like, oh, like Bianca still has Sasha's plate on her belt, which is why she wasn't supposed to have it. They would have had it ready if she was supposed to win.
So they did make an appearance on NXT, which is like a great moment. And Rhea Ripley does have her side plates, and Bianca still has Sasha Banks' side plates. And normally and thank you, Tara, for that pointing that out. But they normally, when they go to the back, they do change it usually right away.
Yeah.
But maybe being caught up in the hoopla of WrestleMania, maybe they just didn't get a chance to, because I know she was after that night, she did a number of appearances. She was on an after show immediately after. Maybe they just never got around to it. Maybe they never made it. Maybe they it's on back. Who the hell knows, right? I mean, honestly, if you think about it for a second, right? I'm gonna so with that YouTube video saying that she was legit screwed, and this is why I hate YouTube to an extent. There is also a video on Twitter of Sasha Banks after Bianca won sitting against the guardrail and smiling.
Yeah, I saw it.
Look at what's going on in the ring and smiling. So how is she? Listen,
exactly. How is she screwed? Yeah.
Right. I know you're not a fan of Sasha Banks at all, but to me, she proved that she's one of the greatest of all time in this match in terms of women's wrestlers. Not the GOAT, but one of them. And she proved that she's a ring general out there. The way she handled Bianca, you know, her first WrestleMania match, the way she called it like it was, the way she used Bianca Belair's hair throughout the match, almost like a storytelling device, pulling it through the ring post, smacking her around, wrapping her in it when she's doing the submission, right? And then when they finally get to the end sequence and she gets whipped in the side. First of all, that was an incredible sound. I don't know if that was piped in or real, but that shit was crazy. I think that was real.
Yeah.
And because she had the mark on her ribs after, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they do that little sequence where they're kind of twisting it around. She gets her, she goes into KOD. She goes to jump on her back for the bank statement, twist around again, KOD, 1, 2, 3. I thought that was incredible, incredibly done, a great ending sequence. And then again, showing the general that she is. She's sitting on the ramp. When they're showing Sasha, she looks at the camera and points to the mark on her side. Like, look what she did.
Yeah.
That's good shit right there, right? And then people were saying, oh, she's legit. Listen, Ronda Rousey's shoulders weren't down when she got pinned either. Was she fucking screwed out of the belt too? Like, come on.
It's a lot of nonsense. But just getting back to the match, I mean, the match was good. Bianca winning was the right call.
Absolutely.
Sasha... Yeah, she's a young up-and-coming star, and they need more people to be main eventers. I'll say this about Sasha Banks, and I've always kind of said this about her. She can put on a hell of a match. There's no doubt about it. I'm not her biggest fan, but she can put on a hell of a match. She did here with Bianca. I'm glad Bianca got the win. It's time for a fresh face, and they have, as far as the women's division, they have three fresh faces, and let's see where they go from here.
It was a nice moment. I don't know. Did you see NXT when so Raquel Gonzalez has pretty much completed the face turn here, and her Dakota Kai came out, Taya Valkyrie came out, and that was Frankie Monet.
Yeah,
kind of just put her on notice. But then Rhea Ripley came out with her Raw Women's Title, and Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair. I got me thinking Sasha Banks. Bianca Belair came out with her, and they had a nice little moment. They put their picture up on the board from that they've been advertising pretty much all week with all three of them. It was a nice moment for them.
Raquel needs to stay heel though.
It doesn't seem
my opinion.
Yeah, I actually agree with you on that. But just at that little moment where they're like they're clinking title belts and hugging and smiling, kind of cemented the face turn there. And maybe Dakota Kai maybe turns on her. Maybe they have some moments there. But I think Belair coming from underneath to overpower the champion, like using her power, that gorilla press slam from the outside where she walked up the steps, like that was impressive.
It's impressive.
You know, Very impressive, and then again, utilizing the ponytail. You know, and then there's a callback. I don't know if you noticed. So when Belair fought, wrestled Shayna Baszler at TakeOver, she hit a 450 splash. And when Shayna Baszler kicked out, Bianca had this like freak out similar to against Sasha Banks. But that freak out almost took her out of the moment. She ended up losing to Baszler. And this one, it shows you like a little bit of her maturity where she hits the 450. She has the freak out, but she kind of composes herself. And like, those little moments in matches where nuances and it's like, oh damn, this is really good stuff here, man. And you know, I thought it was great. I thought for me that was my match of the night. And that did it for night one. Match of the night for you?
Cesaro and Seth, I think it was for me. Yeah.
I wouldn't disagree there. That was another really good match. And that was Saturday, believe it or not. Unbelievable, right? I mean, we're talking some good stuff night one just to kick it off. Really good matches. And then we go right into night two on Sunday. Chris, as he said, just woke up in time, feeling some side effects from that second COVID shot. He's like, oh man, I'm not feeling great. But in that opening match for night two, you know, I'm gonna let you take it here. The Fiend against Randy Orton. What'd you think?
Yeah, so I got a bunch to say about it. It made no sense to me. I don't get the point here. And I'm sure that somebody out there can tell me what they think the story is going to be here. But the entrance was amazing for Bray Wyatt. Mm-hmm. I really loved him coming out of that big Jack in the Box. He dove
off. Do you mean the Jack in the Box like structure that Michael Cole kept saying? Not the Jack in the Box. The Jack in the Box like structure.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Ridiculous. He jumped off it, attacked Randy, fast start. But before you knew it, the match was over. And the reason why is because they show Alexa Bliss sitting on top of the jack-in-the-box-like structure. And she has this black, that black ooze liquid kind of going down her face.
Papa Shango, man.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt is staring at her, dumbfounded. Randy catches him, the RKO, match over. And I was just like, what the hell just happened? Like, why did... And immediately I thought Alexa turned on Bray without really going face. Mm-hmm. Like, she's still this creepy Alexa Bliss character. What is the purpose of this? There's been some theories, fan theories, about Alexa siphoning Bray's powers, and now she's the one in charge. She's taking over. She's going to control the Fiend. Okay, you know, maybe I'll give it a chance to see where it goes. But to be honest, I didn't like it. Like, I wanted to see Bray come back and win over Randy, but that didn't happen. But here's another thing that I wanted to bring up, and I talked about it the last time that we, I think when we talked about when Bray Wyatt came back with the burned look, yeah, and they said that Tom Savini helped him. Well, they did it again. The WWE posted that Tom Savini helped Alexa Bliss with that black liquid look that she had sitting up there.
Okay.
And I just thought this again takes you out of the moment. Why I don't understand what the purpose is for them to tell us that
Tom Savini did it for her?
Yeah, like they're putting on a show. It's like, right, don't tell me that I know you're putting on a show. You don't have to remind me. When I sit and watch a movie, I don't need the actors to stop and turn to the camera and say, this is all not real. I already know that. You know, like,
that would be the worst movie ever.
You know, like, it's so, I just don't like it. But anyway, that's a whole nother thing. But I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. You know, I hope that I would rather them not try to break up Alexa and Bray Wyatt so soon. I think it's too soon.
So I agree with you, but it seems like, well, you didn't watch the Raw after Mania, did you?
No.
So it's a done deal, pretty much. So pretty much Alexa did an episode of Alexa's Playground and pretty much said that, you know, Bray taught her everything she knows, and then he left her. And because of that, she's upset. And now she came out with her own little doll. I'm guessing, I forget the name of it. I want to say Lily, maybe. It was like her own little evil doll. And it almost seems like either she's going to have a female version of the Fiend, or she is going to be the female version of the Fiend. So their separate is done. It's more or less along the lines of every creation eventually kills its creator. I didn't need this overcomplicated story for the first match of the night. All right. I liked the jack-in-the-box like structure. I like that he came out as the burned. They did that whole little thing where he was burned, but then he morphs back into himself. And it's like, listen, he's a supernatural character. All right, cool. I'm with it. I liked how they started it off. I'm like, cool. I'm all in on that. I loved, by the way, side note, I love that Bray did his little tribute to Luke Harper, Brody Lee in the match too. He did a little things with his hands. He said the yeah, which is great. So that was nice to his boy. But this match, to me, my opinion only, should have been the Fiend goes out and beats the hell out of Randy and pins him. End of discussion. And if you wanted to do that thing after the fact,
right?
Cool. It's like the story of Bray Wyatt's career. Big match, big feud, loses. Big match, big feud, loses. And back to when he was Bray, Eater of Worlds, Bray Wyatt. Big match, you know, lost to John Cena at WrestleMania. Lost to Undertaker at WrestleMania. Lose, you know what I mean? Like, it's just on and on and on. And it's like, why? And listen, I want to see where the story played out. It did. Okay, cool. They're doing like a horror movie vibe to a little element. And I could get behind that. Not at WrestleMania.
And also, you know, the idea that some have that Bray doesn't need to win, I think is bullshit. Like, I never understood the idea of, well, this person doesn't need to win. Like, eventually, the person needs to win a match. You know, like, Bray Wyatt needs to be solidified in the end when these feuds end. You know, and he hasn't lost every single one of them, but he's lost more than he's won. And especially here at WrestleMania, like, there was no reason, I think, for Randy Orton to win here. I don't think he needed to win.
No, he didn't. And listen, I know, like, I go back and forth on the do wins and losses count thing, because I think in certain situations maybe they don't. But when a guy is constantly losing, it's a problem. Yeah. Right. And he's not constantly losing, but in these big match situations, yes, he is. All right. And the thing that bothered me too, and I want to put the icing on the cake here, one RKO, one, and a pin. Lashley got hit with three Future Shock DDTs. This guy got burned alive, came back, and hit one RKO, and he's out. That's the problem with that I have with that as well. And you know what? If you want to give Randy Orton some offense, fine. And is if the reason that Alexa flip, you know, does her little thing causes Orton to lose again, fine. Or if you wanted to do that spot at the end, fine. For that to be the end of the match, okay, yeah, he's, you know, she's taking his power, whatever. You hit one RKO and you're done. I'm like, what are you doing then with this guy? You know what I mean? And you know, that bothered me. It did not start off good at all, night two. And it could have been so much better. That was a complete dud. It failed. I do want to see where this goes with Alexa and the Fiend. I am genuinely interested, and I did like the promo. Alexa cut a really good promo on the Raw after Monday. Bray's was like nonsensical. It was kind of whack. But I am interested. Let's move on from that. The second match, women's tag team title match, Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler against the winners from the tag team turmoil match the night before, Tamina and Natalya. And I really thought Tamina and Natalya are going to take this at WrestleMania, stepping out of their father's shadow. And nah, didn't happen.
Didn't happen. I thought they might win. You know, as the match was going on, I was like, I wonder if they're going to win. Shayna and Nia have been champions for a while. It's their second reign. But they wound up getting the victory. I did think the match was sloppy, but it got better as it went on. But it was definitely sloppy, and I know Tara, actually, my girlfriend, hated the match. She thought that they all just looked terrible. But the match was definitely sloppy. Nia and Shayna continue their reign, but and it's another case of, you know, how legitimate is their reign going to be without any viable contenders?
They need to start building up some teams. I mean, you have a few, but they need to start. And nine women on the SmackDown roster doesn't help. Raw's Mount Rosters is a little slim as well. So you maybe some call-ups, but again, why the Iconics are released, I don't get it. And that goes back to right now what we're talking about. And I like Nia Jax, but it just seems like she's regressing. I don't know why, man. A lot of missed spots, sloppy in-ring work, man. And Shayna Baszler was the best out of the three of them. And she kneed the shit out of Natalya's face. I thought she knocked out her tooth, but really her tooth went almost through her lip. And Natalya, too, you know, the ending where she's like, she doesn't know who's the legal person, so she gets the career feud a clutch and taps or passes out, whatever the hell it was. And here's my wife coming in and saying, they never let Natalya win. I'm like, yeah, I don't, whatever. You know, I didn't think that match was good at all. The first two matches started off that second night like, ugh, oh, man, I hope this is another sign of things to come. Fortunately, I think after that match, it did get progressively better throughout the night. And it kicks off with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. It seems like they're destined to do this forever.
Yeah, I mean, they always put on a good match. Sami Zayn's look, I just can't help but laugh every time I see him, the way he looks.
I love it.
He just,
he's such a dork. Man.
I mean, they put on a good match. Kevin Owens gets the win. But now, you know, we talked about Bad Bunny and celebrities. Logan Paul was involved here. This one, I could have done without. Why the hell is he there? What is the purpose? Why do we care about Logan Paul? He took the stunner. He sold it. I'll give him that. But why? Why did we?
And that was it. You know what, though? Yeah. That was it. He didn't go on commentary. He sat on ringside. Right, yeah, he didn't get involved in the match until the very end. So I'll give him that. You know, I will. It's a smart move by WWE, though. Logan Paul has millions of subscribers on YouTube. He's a you know, content creator. And it brings eyes that normally wouldn't watch WrestleMania to watch WrestleMania, maybe subscribing to Peacock just to watch Logan Paul in this match. It's not entirely, like, a business move-wise, it's smart.
I guess I don't see his appeal.
Yeah, me neither. We're also not, you know, 16-year-old kids that are like, oh, he's great. You know, so, you know, I get where they're going with it. Whatever. At least he took the stunner. It wasn't anything over the top. It was cool. What I loved about the Kevin Owens Sami Zayn match was the little callbacks to previous matches that they had. More notably, Battleground 2016, which I think is probably my favorite match of theirs. Sami Zayn actually won that match where he hit the Helluva kick and KO kind of collapsed into his arms, almost like a semi-hug. Yeah. And he picked him back up and hit another one, 1-2-3. He did it again in this match. He hits the Huluva kick. He falls into his arms. He goes to pick him back up. Only this time, he misses the second one. It was great. It was nice. Owens winning, I thought, was the right call here. And I loved the, he did cut a promo at the end of this match where he said, you know, people would never thought that me and Sami Zayn were ever going to get to this point. And it's like a subtle shot to Jim Cornette, because Jim Cornette famously said he's never going to make it to the big show. And he points to the WrestleMania sign and goes, you see this? He's like, Sammy, you know, and he says, Sammy, thank you. I don't know what's wrong with you, but thank you. And I thought that was a great moment for both of them. I could see them wrestle 50 more times. I mean, I hope they don't right away, but the chemistry is there. It's real. It's incredible. And really good callbacks to previous matches, which is cool. Like, listen, we've done this before, but cool. Let's, you know what I mean? Good storytelling. Good stuff. And going to another really good match I thought was good. Very hard-hitting and physical. Riddle and Sheamus United States Championship match. What did you think of that one?
Yeah, it was a good match. Definitely physical, like you said. Matt Riddle took a hell of a brogue kick. Busted up his lip pretty good. I was surprised that Sheamus won, though. You know, I thought Riddle would have a little bit longer of a title run. A lot of title changes in night two. And this was the first one. Yeah, I was surprised that Sheamus got the win. I guess they did it to just maintain Sheamus' spot, you know, that he's still a contender there. Maybe Riddle will get it back in some type of rematch. I'm still not a fan of that U.S. title look. Yeah, but
yeah, man, the
match was good.
Little things. Yeah, you know, first of all, Sheamus with incredible timing on that bro kick. Busted Riddle open the hard way. I wanted to throw something by you. So Meltzer actually said that Riddle was never supposed to have the U.S. title anyway. And Sheamus winning the title kind of rectifies the situation. In reality, it was supposed to be Keith Lee. But because of Keith Lee's out with an injury and all this other stuff, they decided to put it on Riddle in order to get Lashley into that world title picture. How do you feel about rectifying the title win? I don't like that at all. I don't think it's true for the most part.
When you say rectifying it, you mean like, so
maybe
Riddle...
You're right. Riddle was never supposed to have the title. Giving it to Sheamus kind of fixes that situation.
Yeah, I feel like it's a little disrespectful, right?
Exactly.
Like it's I don't buy into that. I think they put it on Riddle because he was probably to take it off of Lashley, so Lashley can move on. He was the best option,
right?
You know, he's a viable option, and yeah, maybe you can look at it and say, well, he wasn't supposed to win, so that's why they made the switch again. But I think that's I wouldn't go that far to say that.
Yeah, you know, rectifying a situation like and on top of that, what do you know? You don't work back there. I don't care how respected of a journalist you are. You don't know. You don't know who's feeding you shit information. Like, just chill out. And that's all speculation. It's like me sitting here and saying it. Only I don't have as many subscribers as he does. Like, okay,
right.
You know, to me personally, I thought this was almost like the dark horse match of the night to like steal the show low key. It was really I thought it was really good. And I love that. So Sheamus going for a white noise off the top rope, almost falls, but catches himself, still does the move. Nice, professional move. I give him that. You know, it could have been sloppy. Somebody could have got hurt there. And he really did catch himself at the last minute, which was nice. But yeah, really good. And we're going from one mid-card title to the next. IC title, the Nigerian drum fight, as Apollo Crews says. I hate the fake accent. I think he needs to just drop it, first of all. Big E getting played out to the ring by Wale, which is pretty cool. Versus Apollo Crews. Let me tell you the problem I had with this match initially. It's called the Nigerian drum fight, right? So, and maybe this is my own fandom boy. I'm thinking, I hear Nigerian drum fight, and I'm thinking Wakanda Black Panther opening scene with the drums and then fighting in the war, right? Probably way off, right? But then I'm thinking, okay, you know what would be cool? If they had a bunch of guys in traditional, maybe Nigerian, you know, costumes or whatever, playing the drums as like the action got more intense and it was a street fight, something like that along the lines of that. All right, cool. All they did was put drums around the ring and they never used them. So
yeah, it was a strange match because it was a gimmick match without being a gimmick match. I'm a fan of both guys. I really like Apollo Crews. I like Big E. Apollo Crews got the win. He's IC champ. I'm fine with that, but This feud, I think, went on too long. I'm glad it's over. Apollo didn't win cleanly. He had help from, what's the guy's name?
Dabakato. Dabatunde in NXT. Yeah. But
yeah, I'm just glad. I hope that this feud is over. Apparently it is. From what I read, Big E might be the next challenger for Roman.
I like that.
Yeah, but yeah, when it was over, I was just like, good. Like, I'm glad Apollo won. I'm glad he's got the belt, and I'm glad they can move on from this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a longer, I mean, at least if you want to say Mania build, I guess, but they had so many matches on SmackDown. You know, yeah. It was like, you know, good. I do like Apollo finally getting some recognition. I think these guys, Apollo, Cesaro, these guys are getting some notice. Him being IC champ, that's huge. I do like the embracing the Nigerian roots. I don't like the accent. I think it could be dropped. The match was shorter than I expected it to be. And the fact that no one at any point had a drum slammed on their head and the guy was like walking around like crazy, I'm surprised that didn't happen. Big E, I love when Big E gets serious and he gets really physical and serious. Like, it's really, really good. And I think, you know, I think he is onto bigger things. I think the world title picture is in his universal title picture is in his not too distant future. And another problem. So Dabba Kato interferes. I like it. No rules. He's getting a guy. Why, dear Cole and announce team, not just him, are we saying, who is this guy? This mysterious guy. He was on Raw Underground all summer, and he got drafted to Raw. He got drafted to Raw. Not like he was on Raw Underground, disappeared. So on Raw Underground, and got drafted to Raw. Don't act like we don't know who Dabba Kato is, bro. Like, who is this mysterious guy? Like, you know who it is. Like, you could just say, that's Dabba Kato. We last saw him on Raw Underground because apparently he's going to change his name to Commander Aziz or something like that. That's why he had the whole getup on.
Right.
Fine, you could do that. If Apollo Crews embraces Nigerian roots, maybe he's embracing his roots and he changed his name. That's fine. That's happened before. Hello, One Man Gang, Akeem the African Dream. That's happened. Right. Don't, we're not stupid. Why are you playing stupid? That's so,
it's annoying.
Right. Yeah. That's the problem I had. I did like it, though. I did like the match. I wish I had a little bit more time, and I wish somebody got a drum to the face. I mean, I don't know. It's a Nigerian drum fight. You know, essentially, it's a street fight. So whatever. It is what it is. Okay. Good match here. Next one. Raw Women's Championship match and Asuka and Rhea Ripley. Not as good as the previous night before, but I thought it was a very good, very solid match. What'd you think there?
It was a good, solid match. Third straight title change here with Rhea getting the win. I love Asuka, but this was the right call to have Rhea go over. I like Rhea Ripley a lot. I know there's that story out there that she was a last minute replacement for Charlotte. So I guess we had to think that Charlotte would have gone over here and won the Raw Women's title. And I'm kind of glad, no disrespect to Charlotte, but I'm glad that that didn't happen because it's good to see somebody fresh, you know, and someone new, and Rhea Ripley, I think, is a star. You know, she is a star, and I think she's going to be a star for a long time. And, I'm glad that she got the win. And I think if anybody was going to take it off of Asuka, it should have been Rhea Ripley.
I like that it was somebody up and coming. Like, I wouldn't have minded if it was Charlotte and Asuka again, because they do some big things there, and they had a great match at WrestleMania previously. But the fact that so if you think about it, right, it was the final two in the Royal Rumble. One got the SmackDown title, one got the Raw title, which I thought was really cool. And that was a story unto itself. And the fact that she was thrust into there just because Charlotte had to go out, you know what, whatever, that happens all the time. I think that was great. I thought technically it was very, very good. I thought physically, it was very, very good. That implant DDT from the apron onto the floor was a really good spot. And they both showcased their strengths. Really physical on Rhea Ripley's end. Asuka throwing these strikes, you know, and Asuka throwing like these almost wild strikes at some points ended up being her downfall, right? She throws the kick, she ducks, she hits the riptide, which I thought was good too. I don't know if the crowd was like maybe tired at this point. They didn't seem too into the match. But it was a very good match. I thought it was, they didn't have the same energy that Banks and Belair had the night before, but that wasn't the main event either. So, you know, that's not fair to say. But I think, you know, Ripley going in, coming out as the next champion was great. Let's build these young stars, man. We need more women in these divisions, and these women could kick ass. So, you know, I think that's great. And I think her and Asuka, you know, had a really good match here. Asuka's to me is already a legend. She's already done all there is to do in WWE.
Yeah.
And she could only have even more great matches with these ladies. So, you know, hats off to both those ladies, man. I thought it was a really good match. They did very well. Although the singer that played Rhea Ripley out, yikes. that voice was not on point. The main event. Triple threat match for the Universal Championship. Edge making his return 10 years to the day of his retirement. Unbelievable. Yeah. That's a great thing right there, which led me to believe he was going to win. But okay, I digress. Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns, the tribal chief, the head of the table, show up and win, wreck everyone and leave. Retains, leaves with the Universal Championship. I don't know how you felt to me. I don't know what a five-star match is. This was a five-star match. This is a five-star main event in WrestleMania.
This was, to me, the best match of both nights. The best overall match of WrestleMania 37 is this triple threat. It was really, really good. It was physical. I loved the package that they had, the highlight package that set up this match, telling each story. I really, really thought Edge was going to win here. I'm really surprised that he did not, although I'm okay with Roman winning because Roman has been just on fire and their top guy, that he's untouchable. But I really, really thought Edge would win. Winning the Royal Rumble, coming back from his retirement, like you said, 10 years to the day that he had to retire, and him winning the belt, I think would have been a really good story. But that didn't happen. And I am still surprised by that. But this match was really, really good. Yeah, I mean, what else can I say about it? It was just a great match. Jey Uso getting involved. Sometimes I feel like Jey Uso getting involved takes away from what Roman can do.
Right.
But, man, they really put on a great match here.
I think this match was constructed almost perfectly. All three men had a chance to shine in different parts of the match. And it was hard-hitting, man. It was brutal. It was physical. Bryan kind of just wrestling his way out. Edge coming out as happy. He's the face. But then when he got into that ring, he was full heel. You know, he wanted to win the title at all costs. If that meant putting people through tables, hitting people with chairs. That segment of when he gets the crossface on Roman, and he grabs that part of the chair that broke off and he's squeezing it into his mouth. And then I love the moment where Daniel Bryan joined in on him, gets him in the crossface, and they're both yelling at each other like, "You let go. No, you let go." And then they're headbutting each other. So he was going to let go. Like, that was great, great, really good stuff, man. To me, this was one of the all-time great WrestleMania main events. It was one of the better triple threat matches I've seen in a very, very, very long time. It lived up to a Mania main event. I thought it was great. I agree with you with Jey Uso. Sometimes maybe it does take away. But in this moment, I thought it was good because he distracted them just enough for Roman to win and get up and do what he needed to do. So it wasn't like he wasn't full chicken shit heel moment, but it was good. I like that he got knocked out early, though, and allowed these three guys to really go at it. So it really showed Roman, like, Roman's a fucking powerhouse, and he, you know, and do what he needs to do, throwing down. I did love that with the fans being back, Roman interacting with the crowd. When they're booing him and everything like that, right before he puts Daniel through the table, he just drops Daniel and is just putting his hands in the air, like, and I loved it. I thought he was great. In my opinion, and I've noticed this on the show before, there is nobody right now in any company, AEW, Impact, RO, I don't care what company it is, no one touches Roman Reigns right now. Roman Reigns is on a next level. There's everybody else, and Roman Reigns is at the top. And I think he's doing the best work of his career. And I thought, I was with you, thought for sure Edge was taking this. But I don't hate that Roman retained, because I think Roman is doing the best work right now of his career.
So then the question becomes, where do they go from here? I mean, we mentioned the rumor of Big E being the next challenger. Does that mean that, and obviously SmackDown is tomorrow, I guess we'll find out, but are they done with Edge in this title picture? Like, is Edge going to be a full-time worker? Is he part-time? Does he disappear for a little while?
Maybe he disappears for a little while after Backlash. I think if he doesn't get a rematch, I think him and Daniel Bryan might have to go toe-to-toe with Backlash. Maybe that's the write-off for both of them for a little bit. I think Reigns has some guys waiting in the wings. Big E, Cesaro. You got maybe a Seth Rollins that's coming. You have a KO that they could dance again if they need to. You know, I think he has these two young guys. Not young guys, but I'm saying like up and coming. And Cesaro and Big E. That if built right, there's your SummerSlam main event right there. And I don't think they're gonna move on right away. I think Backlash, I don't think you'll see a rematch. Maybe you'll finally see an Edge Roman one-on-one, you know, maybe Daniel Bryan and Edge mix it up. I really don't know. This is pure speculation, but I think, you gotta start building up this next crop of talent. Cesaro got to get elevated. And I think that's the first step in Mania. I think Big E needs to get elevated. I think there's some other people on the roster that could come up and challenge Roman, but. Dude, I love this. I love this main event. And I agree with you. This was, to me, best match of the entire pay-per-view weekend.
Yeah.
This was a legit legit main event. Like, this was a there's been some that's been disappointing over the years. This is a legit, and not taken away from Drew McIntyre's win over Lesnar last year, but like, you know, beating him in 5 minutes is like, okay, you know. But this one was like, there were some legit moments where you're like, oh, who's gonna, oh, and like, you just kept going back and forth. I remember texting you like, yo, I love everything about this fucking match right now.
Yeah,
right? And it was just really good. And hats off to those guys. To me, and like I said, what does a 5-star match look like? We don't know, but in my personal opinion, this is a 5-star match from beginning to end. Overall grade for nights 1 and 2 of WrestleMania. We could do separate. We'll do night 1 grade, night 2 grade. How about that?
So night 1, I would give maybe an, and then night 2, I would give an A.
See,
I think the triple threat makes up for night 2.
I'm a reverse. I'm gonna go night 1 A. I think every match was very, very good and a great main event to round us out. I give night 2 the B plus here, and I think it's because from Sami Zayn KO on, got progressively better. That main event was lights out, and I think the main event's what elevates it to the B plus, because those first two matches were just thumbs down in the dumps, and I think that we could have had a really bad night given how those first two started off, and every match after that improved it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what? You're right. So I'm going to switch that too, because the first two matches were whatever. The Nigerian drum fight was whatever. So night 1 from start to finish was probably a little bit better. I just think that that triple threat for night 2 just...
It really is.
What sets it apart, you know?
Yeah, it really does. And I think that's... You know, for people that criticize WWE and the product and stuff like that, I mean, yo, did you see this main event on Sunday? Because...
For people that criticize Roman Reigns, like, why aren't you paying attention to what he's doing?
You know, it makes me laugh. The fact that people say for years, Roman should go heel, Roman should go heel, Roman should go heel, Roman should go heel. And then he goes heel and we have fans back in the thing. And now I'm seeing articles from fans that like, Roman Reigns should not be Universal Champion. Like, okay, go fuck yourself. It's damn if you do, damn if you don't. You know, yeah. If he was a face and Universal Champion, it'd be, they're shoving Roman down our throats. Now he's heel. It's like, they're shoving Roman down our throats. Like, dude, enjoy the ride while you have it, because you're seeing some really good stuff here. You're seeing some really good matches. The feud with KO was really good. This was really good. You're missing out by complaining. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it. You don't have to like everything you see. That's not what I'm saying. But it's like, yo, hook it up. Like, enjoy it. Enjoy the ride, man. Just stop being a dick. I don't know, you know? But all in all, I thought it was a very good WrestleMania. For me personally, I don't know how you feel about this, and this is how we'll wrap it up, I think. But I personally think every WrestleMania going forward should be 2 nights.
I think it will be. I don't think it's a matter of if. I think it will be 2 nights going forward. It's evolved obviously as a spectacle over the years, and I think this is the next step in its evolution. It makes sense for them to do it. It's hard to say that it's profitable, because you know, as far as fan wise for the last 2 years that they've done 2 nights, that we've had the pandemic stuff to worry about, they finally had fans back there, but they've been profitable in their own way during, you know, given the situation. But once things can get back to normal, and once they have fans fill in these stadiums for these 2 nights, they're going to make a killing off of it. There's no way they're not going to sell out 2 nights of WrestleMania. I think it will happen. They have the big enough roster to do it.
Right.
I just hope that as next year comes, and WrestleMania 38, I'm sure, will come before we know it, that the story and the buildup just gets a little bit better.
That's what they need. And I'll say it again, though, you know, I thought the NXT build-up to TakeOver was infinitely better than the build to WrestleMania, and I think they really need to get their shit together in terms of, you want to build. So it looks like Dallas next year and LA the year after. It seems like it's only going to be 1 night, because they only have it down for 1 night. And who knows? Maybe they change it. That could very well happen as well. But to me, like, it just needs it needs a better build. We need more of these, you know. How many times have we seen these Mania feuds that start at Royal Rumble carry into Mania? And it doesn't have to always start there, too. You could still have something, or even something years later. I mean, to me, if you would have asked me this last year, I would have said that when Bayley eventually turns on Sasha, which I was calling last year, I was like, that's a story that they could carry into Mania. And they ended it at Hell in a Cell. Because I thought it was a really, really strong story going in. Don't get me wrong. I like the route they went with Bianca for the SmackDown Women's title. But I'm saying if you really wanted a legit Mania feud, that was something that they really could have stretched out. And if they really wanted to, that could have main evented night one of WrestleMania. One thing that slips my mind also, Hulk Hogan getting booed incredibly every time he touched the mic. I think maybe they need to just not wipe their hands of Hogan. I'm doing the signal for that. Mm-hmm. Just maybe take a break. Go to your beach shop and chill out. Titus, that's his hometown. He could have just hosted himself. Did need Hogan with him. And I'd like that Bayley interjected every so often. The fans, it doesn't seem like they're turning back in favor of Hogan, let me say.
Yeah, it's crazy how some guys fall a little bit from grace. I mean, I can't excuse what Hogan did. I mean, his comments, that's probably why he's getting booed, and I can't defend him in any way for what he said and the comments that he made. It's a shame that Hulk Hogan, made those comments, and now he's pretty much being alienated as far as the fans go. Mm-hmm. We'll see WWE stepped away from him for a while after he made those comments, and maybe they'll do it again. They see that the first time they have fans back and Hogan is getting booed on both nights, maybe they'll just be like, hey, we need to kind of just step away from Hogan for maybe a permanent basis.
If that didn't show you, and this is the first time we've had fans in a year in a stadium or whatever, and the fact that they're still booing him because, absence makes the heart grow fonder, take a break. And I would like to be like, oh, it's not fair. He did it to himself. That's the long and short of it, honestly. It's unfortunate, yes, but at the same time, when you put yourself in that type of situation, making the comments that you did, you have to go out there and spec now at this point that you are going to be booed. And I think he handled it kind of well. He really didn't like feed into it at all. They did cheer him when he came out the NWO, but I think it was more because they cheered the NWO and not him. Right. It was great to see those guys go in into the Hall of Fame. I could have did without, by the way, the segment where the Bellas took out Bayley. I don't know where that's leading. Probably nowhere. A lot of people thought the speculation was that Becky Lynch was going to come out also. And make a little appearance, but I think she's a little while out maybe from returning.
I saw the rumors of her making her comeback. I think she did like a little bit of a cryptic message and everybody went crazy, but
she trolled the fans. She trolled them during the Royal
Rumble. She trolled everybody. Yeah. Right? So we're going to have to wait a little longer for Becky's return.
I will say this. Normally the Raw after Mania is one of the most exciting. You have some returns, and this past Monday the Viking Raiders did return. They're back to full strength. And other than that, and the Alexa story, it was one of the. And at Wrestling Guys PC, if you disagree, but I'm gonna say this: it was one of the worst Raw after Manias ever. Mm-hmm. No big debuts, and I'm not expecting a debut every year, but no big debuts, no big surprises outside of the Viking Raiders and the brief explanation with Alexa. Other than that, AJ Styles and Omos didn't even make an appearance. They established a new number one contender, or at least you thought they did, but it's Drew McIntyre. And it seems that the former members of Retribution may be aligning themselves with MVP. So nothing crazy. NXT had a nice little moment with all three champs in the ring, which was great. Kushida winning the Cruiserweight title. And then Friday on SmackDown, we'll see. Maybe we'll get something there. It doesn't seem like it, because a lot of people were speculating that maybe Adam Cole or Brock Lesnar were going to interview in the Triple Threat and cause them to lose. Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly don't seem to be done yet. So I think they're going to put that on hold. If anybody comes up, I really don't know. I couldn't see it right now because it just seems like everybody's kind of tied up. And I don't see anybody off the top of my head making an appearance, unless it's maybe someone like Ciampa. But he doesn't seem to want to go anywhere. He likes NXT. So
yeah, and I think Triple H commented too, because he was asked about Adam Cole's future and is Adam Cole done on NXT, and Triple H kind of like shrugged it off, and he was like, there's more story to tell, so I don't think Adam Cole's going anywhere.
Well, maybe you'll see a Roderick Strong, because Roderick Strong did quit NXT on Wednesday, so maybe he goes to SmackDown, who knows, to get away from the pain of the Undisputed Era, breaking up or whatever. Okay, last two, rapid fire. You tell me the first answer that comes to the top of your head. One, here we go. Who's beating Walter for the NXT Championship, UK?
Nobody.
Okay.
I mean, who's there to do it? There's no one there.
Very true. I'm going to go with Timothy Thatcher. I don't know. I'm taking a guess out of thin air here, but it seems like they're tied up in some way. Okay, last one. Who beats Roman Reigns for the Universal title?
I go with Edge. I think Edge gets a rematch one-on-one, and I think Edge takes the title.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Big E beats Roman Reigns at SummerSlam.
Okay.
After a very good feud with Cesaro. Cesaro won't get the belt. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. It's good to see some up-and-comers. And I wouldn't mind. I love Edge. Edge is my guy. So if he gets it, how you doing? You know, who... Okay, last one. I know I just started this now, though. Who do you think will be the first signees out of the recently released to go to AEW?
Samoa Joe.
Really? You don't think he'll go back to Impact?
No, I think he'll go to AEW.
I just feel like their roster is getting a little bloated. And between all the factions and everything.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I would love to see Samoa Joe there. Because, again, instant money. Instant. Yeah. Kenny Omega and Samoa Joe. Ooh, what?
Absolutely. Yeah, that writes itself right there.
Right. And Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, don't be surprised if you see them in an AEW ring sooner than later. I hope we see them sooner rather than later. Because they're entertaining as hell and they deserve a spot. Chelsea Green, though, back to Impact. I'm going to make that... let that be known. And with that, I think we're good. I think it's a good way. It's a good way to sign off here. Don't forget though, next week, the final two matches to watch along on our greatest WrestleMania match bracket. All right, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 25, and Undertaker Triple H, end of an era, Hell in a Cell. Am I right? Am I saying that?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, good. I hope I wasn't ahead of myself and I made up two matches out of thin air.
And we'll pick a winner of that match, and then we'll pick the overall winner, which, you know, whoever we pick in that match, we'll pick against Bret Hart versus Steve Austin, and we'll decide who our greatest WrestleMania match is of all time.
Yes, and that's going to be incredible. I was looking forward to the end of that. That's going to be some good stuff. I think along the line, though, Chris, we're going to have to do, like, I know we said, like, a best of the rest tournament, but that's kind of demeaning to those other matches. But I think we do have to do a short, maybe, some of the undercard matches we may have overlooked during our making of the bracket. Because, like, there's a lot that have been pointed out and a lot that have been popping into my head that I'm like, oh, damn, totally forgot about that. You know, so there's some good ones there that we got to look into. And with that being said, I think it's the best time to wrap it up. As usual, you can grab our podcast where you grab all your wrestling podcasts. Make sure to subscribe. Make sure you leave that 5-star review. Hook us up. Tell us what you love. Tell us what you don't love. And I don't really care, but direct all of your questions to our Wrestling Guys PC. What'd you think of night one? What'd you think of night two? What was your match of the night? Who do you think takes down Roman for the Universal title? Is it Edge? Is it a new up-and-coming guy? Why didn't they use any of the drums in the Nigerian jump fight? I don't care. All that. Let us know. Send it all our way. You're going to go to @FPPShow on Twitter as well. What do you guys got coming down on that Fans Perspective podcast?
All I can say, you know, at this moment, just, you know, our schedules have been a little hectic. And, you know, with me not feeling too great after my second shot, just stay tuned. We got a lot of content that we've got lined up. But just stay tuned because something will be coming shortly. So
in the meantime, follow them on Twitter and you'll know what's going on. You'll know what's coming out. You know what's going down. Anything you want to know, pop culture, movies, shows, it's good stuff. Head over there, download that, download ours, listen to both in a day. I don't care, as long as you hooking that up. Again, at Wrestling Guys PC, at FPP Show. And with that being said, this has been the Wrestling Guys Podcast. We can talk about wrestling, drink some virtual beers. We're just about all out of virtual beers. We do the clink to seal the deal. Wear your mask, wash your damn hands. Everybody stay safe. How you doing? Take care. I love you, Billy Kay and Peyton Royce.